What's up, you guys? Sean Rossat, managing editor, Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com, Q&A podcast time. Getting this one in before Raw. We've got just so much stuff going on with Select and the website. Obviously, on the MMA side of things, a very busy week. Pro wrestling side of things also, don't know how I'm going to pull off Saturday, but I'm hoping to. I'm going to. So let's get into these questions. Remember, guys, spread the word about FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how important that is to a service like this. Other people want to know that it's worth it to check it out. So if you all don't mind, help us out a little bit. We've got questions to get into. Let's go ahead and get into it. How do you think WWE will book the Super Show? Personally, I don't think WWE will treat Melbourne as another big house show like the last Saudi one. If they do, the Melbournians won't be as forgiving as Saudi Arabia with its booking. I'm predicting at least two title changes, Joe and Buddy. Well, I'll get into my predictions later this week, but I wouldn't be shocked to see two title changes. However, they do have a little something that you can't leave feeling disappointed about. And that's the Miz Daniel Bryan match in some degree. It is a top contenders match. By the end of that show, that won't have been completely wasted. We pretty much knew that Braun Strowman was not going to get anything for that Royal Rumble match at Greatest Royal Rumble. And we got one title change in Saudi Arabia the first go around, and that was because there was a vacant set of titles on the Raw side. That's not the case anymore. You got Joe versus Styles. You have Barr versus New Day, Cedric and Buddy, Becky and Charlotte. If I'm them, I go with Buddy Murphy. I get that hometown pop. I show them that they mean something. And the honest fact is, quite frankly, the Cruiserweight Championship doesn't mean so much that they can't move it. While that show is fantastic, 205 Live, it doesn't mean so much that they can't switch that title up. And Buddy Murphy is more than worthy of carrying that championship and running that show for a little while. They can always switch it right back. Here's the thing. I'm not convinced that they won't treat this as a house show, even though they've gone into advanced promotion for that Triple H Undertaker deal. I'm still not convinced. Because the situation is they don't have to come back to Australia a couple times a year. They don't have the big fat contract. I think it's the tourism group in Australia that's paying for this show. But at the same time, they don't have to worry about what's next. If they get invited back, that's awesome, and I'm sure they hope they do. But they don't have to go back all the time. How would you book Punishment Martinez and where, NXT, SmackDown, or Raw? I'd have him spoil Riddle's first big match, whether that would be his TakeOver debut or his first title match. I would as well. I would have Riddle win his first match and then have Punishment Martinez come out and kill him. Because quite honestly, how are you going to make Matt Riddle look vulnerable to anybody if he comes out and everybody knows he is a UFC fighter who left on a 4-fight winning streak. He knows and likes Punishment Martinez. They've worked together in the past. They've teamed together in the past. I think it would be a good story that you can tell. Punishment Martinez is 35, 36 years old, and a guy that he helped train got signed before him. He doesn't like that. So he's going to go in and he's going to show Riddle how to handle things. And I think that immediately thrusting Riddle in there or Punishment Martinez in there is the right move. I don't know if you're going to get a crowd debut type of thing out of Damian Martinez. Not a lot of people know who the guy is. They should. He's an exceptional worker. He's very, very good. But yeah, if you could tell Vinnie Mac or Triple H to sign one wrestler in the world and they'd listen, who would you pick? Ivelisse, probably. I've not been like exactly coy about that. I think Ivelisse is one of the best women's workers in the world, and I think that in that division she would bring just a sense of realness that they need. And the thing is, a lot of her attitude issues, perceived attitude issues, started with how she dealt with things in developmental. And it's because she wanted things to be the way that they are now. And now that they are, she's not a part of that, and she's more than capable of being part of that. I'm hoping she can get out of her deal and move on somewhere. I'm surprised she hasn't been in the LAX OG storyline. I even fed a question to Homicide and Ortiz expecting them to say her, but they said Mercedes Martinez should be involved and Diamante should be more. But I would go with Eva Lis. I really like her, and I think she could be a big addition to that division. Who are the agents for the Mae Young Classic? Thus far, we've gotten 16 matches of varying quality. Some seem very well laid out to serve both participants. The best example in my mind being Karen May against Xia Li. One is an experienced independent wrestler that needs to be introduced to the audience. The other is a Chinese recruit with only 2 years or so of training that needs to be carried. From their gear face-off in the first few seconds of the match, it seems they immediately sold the matchup as a big kung fu battle off the bat. As it progressed, they just had Li sell for Mi's explosive offense. It's a varying degree of people. I don't have the producer list for NXT stuff. I've never been a person that had access to the Full Sail production stuff. I was told that Shawn Michaels helped produce the ladder match, but on that, I know that I believe Sarah Stock helped out with some of the stuff, but the majority I do not know. So I'll try to find out. Seems like the range was significant between what worked and what different. Yep, I like the Casey Catanzaro, Reyna Gonzalez match that you mentioned, Jonathan. And there were some clunky matchups as well. I would agree. Were you as shocked as me at the announcer shutting up during the Miz and R-Truth match? I can't remember the last time WWE announcers just let the wrestlers tell the damn story themselves. It's the freaking Miz. He really doesn't need any help. And the silence as he stared down Truth for an extended period was a breath of fresh air. Given it's WWE, I think it's more likely the mic equipment failed rather than someone backstage letting them go silent. They're not supposed to have a lot of dead air on WWE Raw or any mini broadcasts for that instance. When you tune into a baseball game, there's a lot of dead air, and that contributes to the boring aspect of a baseball game. You want to be talking during that stuff, but there are times like with Miz and R-Truth where it just works better to have it, as you mentioned, to have the guys in the ring telling the story. Why is Asuka the babyface in peril when she tags with Naomi? She had a 2-year undefeated streak snapped only by Charlotte, and all of a sudden Mandy and Sonya are in control against her. Maybe she's getting old. How am I supposed to say that? Like they don't know how to handle her. That's the long and the short of it. They don't know how to handle her. They weren't ready for Asuka. Worst accent. Lana speaking normally 90% of the time until she says Rusev, or Zelina jumping from, I guess, Hispanic to Jersey to no accent. I'm going to go with Zelina because Lana's is that way by design. They told her to do that. This question is rhetorical, but needs to be asked as often as possible. Isn't Paige the best freaking GM in the biz? Yes, she is. And I have a lot of people that will point out other prominent GMs, but she's the best. She is the best I've ever seen. She is made to look the smartest I've ever seen. She works. It works. The charismatic enigma of Twitter, Rovert, pointed out that NXT deals are 3 years and this influences call-up. Is this length accurate and the standard? I don't know if there's a standard. Sometimes they vary, but I can tell you the couple of people I talked to said yes. About a month or so ago, Daniel Bryan remarked that he discovered some sort of option at the end of his deal that would have prevented him from being an actual unrestricted free agent at the end of September, like so many thought. Can you confirm this? I believe that you and WrestleNomics pointed out that wrestling expiration dates aren't always clear cut. Was there some sort of right to match period that was going to kick in? Sort of. WWE, as I mentioned way back when people were still saying that Daniel Bryan wasn't signed, when they were putting him on video games and having him on media tours and promoting him for pay-per-views and green-lighting the new seasons, and people were still saying he wasn't signed or hadn't agreed to anything, it was WWE was always under the impression they had an extra year on him for varying reasons. So it wasn't as clear-cut. So when Daniel Bryan says that he got a lawyer, I don't know if that's true. It would be smart if he did, but he had come to an agreement by then. Generally, I would have been inclined to believe whatever Daniel Bryan said, but he was working some people here. as some Reddit troll that thinks that there's they said that about this situation, I said workers work, and somebody on Reddit like said the same thing about this situation and like quoted me, and now I got some guy on Reddit that's like, you're making alt accounts. Weirdo shit. But there are still people that come at me for that, man. And Daniel Bryan had come to terms. He had a deal. There's no way you're going to tell me different based on the people that I talked to and the things that unfolded. I mean, I was hesitant to believe it at first when I got the information and I ran with the story, and then it was cleared up within a week. Still rocking with it, man. Still rocking with it. Related question, Daniel Bryan has more than enough money to hire a goddamn lawyer. How did he not have a guy review his deal and sort this out earlier, like when he signed it or a year ago? He says he did, or he says he was. And I mean, you can have him do that at any time. I had people look over my Fightful contract even. Do any talent have agents, lawyers reviewing their deals? Yes, several of them do. Most of them do. I can tell you Matt Riddle had one look over his Fightful deal with us. And we went back and forth for a while before we could make a deal happen. A British independent named Kamikaze Pro UK teased Pac, Neville on their upcoming show October 5th. You heard anything about this? A Twitter user actually got a picture with him in England a couple days ago. Otherwise, he's been a ghost. I'm going to look up this picture right now because I have heard nothing about Neville wrestling again right now. And he had went back to the UK a while ago, like back when I mentioned, I think in January or February-ish, he had already went back to the UK. But I've heard nothing about this. I would be surprised if he showed up then. He's got a lot of people that want his services right now. And I mean a lot of them. How has he managed to dodge all wrestling media? I know he's overseas, but there's usually a trickle of info, right? I mean, there was a trickle of info earlier this year. WWE thought they could freeze his contract. They wanted to, and then they realized he wasn't coming back, and he got out of his deal. He moved back to the UK. That was the trickle of info. How do you avoid wrestling media? You don't respond to them. That's it, man. That's how most guys, if they want to avoid me, they don't reply to me. It's the way it works. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He's not talking to anybody. And I think his value has increased as a result. Can we admit ROH booking and talent management is crap? Setting aside all in example, Rich Krejci over at VOW went over the guys they had in their top prospect tournament the last few years, and its roster plus Tenille and Deonna, and would put the strap on Sumi Sakai. Shouldn't a company with the entire cast of BTE plus part time access that New Japan roster be doing way better than they are currently? Why in the hell is Bully Ray getting so much time in 2018? Listen to the crowd when Bully Ray does stuff. That's why Bully Ray's getting the time he is in 2018. He is very over. He is very good at what he's doing. He's helping get Flip Gordon over more. But yeah, they've mismanaged a lot of guys to the point to where when Dalton Castle got hurt after an underwhelming title run, they had to go right back to Jay Lethal, who I thought for sure, based on my own guesswork, that he would be involved in a tag team. I thought for sure he'd go to a tag team, but they put the title back on him because they didn't have a lot of other options. Yeah, a lot of mismanagement. As it turns out, Tenille or Deonna should have still won the title, but they could have lost it to Sumi at this point. Are you as amused as I am that New Japan screwed progress by pulling Ospreay and Sabre off the Wembley show for C-level event at Long Beach, but WWE is happy to let Bate, Dunn, Seven, and Riddle work progress despite holding a million events around the same time? Imagine how insane the Wembley card would be if you had Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr. on this plan. Might have been card of the year. You're damn right. I joke about NXT UK being the white guy European bearded tournament, but lots of talent over there, and they sent Riddle over there because they know he is something over there. I think it's very positive because those are all guys that Triple H has control of right now. That's why they got sent over there. My boy Stone Osborne says, why isn't WWE taking massive amounts of Saudi money a bigger deal than it is, especially given the overt nature of their relationship? Are we unconscious as viewers that will let something like this slide without even batting an eye? The Saudi government is not our friend or any friend to Western culture. And we've already seen with the lack of female and talent involved with the Saudi shows. I think because so much was said about it the first go around, it's a lot of people had exhaustion about the subject. It doesn't mean that it's not a subject worth talking about, because it is. And it is important, and it should be talked about. It should be, have a light shined on it. But there are some times when people just want to hear us as talking heads talk about wrestling instead of politics. And there are sometimes I just want to talk about wrestling instead of politics, as much as I disagree with what Saudi Arabia does and their fundamental, just what they are stuck in. I don't like that. I don't. And I've made my feelings known, and I wish it would change. I wish just right now they would switch things up. Unfortunately, change takes a long time, and I hope that WWE becomes a part of that change. I doubt they will, because quite frankly, very often they're cowards, but we'll see. Can Evolution return at SmackDown 1000 mean the beginning of Batista and Triple H at WrestleMania 35? Wow, are we at 35? Jeez. Yeah, I think it could and it should. I think all three of them should watch along as Batista, or all Orton and Flair should watch along as Batista powerbombs Triple H. I think that would be a good move. If Aries Neville, Swan, and Enzo at 205 Live, do the tag titles become a reality? 100% they do. You have a much hotter scene now as well. I mean, I feel like Enzo being put there was a product of Aries not being there. But man, those are four key pieces. In the case of Aries, Neville, and Enzo, the three most important pieces. Rich Swan was an important piece, but not the most important piece. And for them to lose those, that's rough. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker actually happens at Survivor Series. Is it a one-off, or do you see Shawn Michaels doing one last run through Mania 35 and against who? I see, personally, Michaels doing a few matches. I believe, not have been told, not am reporting, that Michaels is getting the itch again. I know he's very easy to work with at NXT, and people like working with him. I have heard that. Appreciate your efforts doing this, but might I suggest a Jimmy Van Q&A once in a while? Would love to hear him chime in on a few of these. I wish to God he would enlighten things on my end. I do 30 shows a month. I don't want to talk that much, much less have you all listen to me talk that much. But I told him that I wanted to do a thing where we doubled up the Stupid People Extended 1 week, and then the next week we filmed a couple of short Q&A videos, like 5 to 10 minutes each, and put those up. We have more content on our Fightful Select, I think, than anybody. And I'm trying to add to that, too, because I know we don't post a lot. We're not like Observer and PW Insider, where we're posting news up here a lot. So I try to add a lot of content for you all. Where did Jimmy Butler end up? I think Miami. I don't know why anybody would want him at this point, but maybe if Miami can get rid of some bad contracts. I don't know, man. Maybe if they can get rid of Eric Gordon in Houston. Because, see, the deal is, Houston wants to hang on to Eric Gordon because they don't have that they've got too much money allocated elsewhere. They can't sign anybody of Gordon's level on the free agent market. They would have to re-sign people. Would you have enjoyed watching more of the second season of Sinner, or what you've seen so far with the Purge TV series? I gave up on Purge after one episode. The Sinner was way better. It was great. Does Jay Lethal ever make a WWE run? I'm going to say no. I don't think he does. Well, I'll put it at 45% yes, 55% no. He's still just 33 years old, so he's got a lot of time. If he becomes a guy that's too big of a commodity for WWE to ignore, then yeah. Which Bobby turns first, Roode or Lashley? Are they both going to turn much sooner rather than later? And Lashley, would a heel turn benefit them both at that point? Lashley, I like doing whatever he's doing right now. Bobby Roode, yeah, he would benefit a lot more, and I think he turns first. How does one take Ibushi standing moonsault where he lands the double knees? You hope that you don't. That's it. You just hope that you don't. Who would be the next Japanese star to come to WWE? Depends on what you mean by that. Because I think a lot of them aren't going to come now. I think the right time to come was when they did. And I think the right time is not now or anytime soon. If you mean pro wrestlers that wrestle in Japan, I mean, there are a few, but as far as Japanese stars, like from Japan, I don't know, man. Okada's not going there. Why would he? Tanahashi's not going there. I don't see that happening. It would be somebody that maybe we don't expect that they pick up for their cruiserweight division. Like maybe one of the Roppongi 3K guys I could see heading over there because they're very good. Kushida's not going. Man, if Takahashi was healthy, I would say him. Naito, if Naito doesn't get a top push, I could see, like, why wouldn't they try to reach out to him? He's a type of guy who's charisma goes further than the English language. Does Jericho free agent hire run end once the cruise is over with? No. I think it continues. I think he sees the money and the buzz in it. Does WWE now regret the way that they had handled Cody? Yeah, I know some people do. I know that some people saw the benefit of him as well. With Access not airing New Japan Fighting Spirit Unleashed, airing most pay-per-views on a massive piecemeal delay, insisting on Josh Barnett and screwing up production, is it time for New Japan to look at a different U.S. television partner? What channels companies would be an upgrade? At minimum, they should be airing all the U.S. shows live. Kelly and Callis are similar quality on the call and better time slots for big shows. I thought that Kelly and JR did really good. And JR and Callis, ironically, as different as they can be, have some of the same issues. But Kevin Kelly is outstanding. I would try to hit up Paramount. I don't know how interested they would be, but they still got some people there that liked wrestling when it was TNA wrestling. So I would try them. I would try WGN after All In appeared on there. See if there's any interest there. Hit up some people that have experience in wrestling and ask for a nice Saturday night slot, something like that. What moves are banned in WWE? There's a lot of moves banned in WWE. Anything they take upon themselves to ban. Pile drivers, primarily. The vertebraker. Oh, gosh. Death Valley Driver. Well, yeah, versions of the Death Valley Driver are banned, actually, because they say that they're too close to John Cena's moves. The Burning Hammer. Oh, man, I'd have to get back to you on that, but those are mainly the ones. Are there any moves banned in New Japan? Not to my knowledge. I think they're allowed to do whatever they want. Will the women's tag titles be introduced or won at Evolution? I got nothing on that, my friend. Nothing on that. So I'll have to follow up on that. Given the insane Saudi money and billions on the WWE TV deal, do you think the importance of WWE Network has lessened in WWE's eyes? Yes, to a degree. This is still a place where they can go to show those events and make them seem more special and promote those events. They know that the WWE Network is theirs. And while it's nice to get money out of everybody, like, I love getting Blue Chew dollars. That's nice. I feel a lot more consistent having people subscribe to us on Fightful Select. that means that you all believe in what we have. However, WWE doesn't necessarily care what their viewers believe in, contrary of what people say. So it's catch 22. They have ways that they can drive network subscriptions, but don't do it. So it's a very confusing approach that they take to such a thing. Think we'll ever see NXT tapings or parts of them being taped before or after Raw or SmackDown? They've done that before. Graham says, I read that attendance for a recent NXT event was approximately 300 people. If Vince is concerned that people from NXT aren't main roster ready, would seeing how the wrestlers fare against a large audience more regularly help convince him? I think if you did the tapings at, 3,000-4,000 seat places, or in those ballrooms, those beautiful ballrooms they run sometimes, I think they would fill up. And I think that helps. You have to be able to work in front of no reaction. And a lot of times NXT guys are working in front of crowds that are there to give you a certain reaction. You know what I'm saying? And that's not always the best way to go about it. Sometimes you need to go out there and wrestle in front of somebody who's not making any noise. With the money that WWE is now making from shows like Australia and Saudi, would they ever consider doing a WrestleMania in another country outside of North America? I would be shocked. I would be shocked because of the time zone difference. They don't need to now. Especially, you had everybody asking that, but you better believe they're going to run a show. I'm not familiar with UK venues. I would assume they would run a show at Wembley. Especially if somebody else is paying them to run a show there. Why wouldn't they? But they don't have to run a WrestleMania in the UK and Australia and Saudi Arabia. They'll do the greatest WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. Like, that's just what they'll do. Why not? Do you think that Brie versus Maryse will still happen at Evolution? I don't think it will, and I don't think it should, and that would be bad. Do you ever see the Young Bucks splitting up, not breaking up, or doing a solo run? I do see them doing solo runs. I've mentioned this on the FightfulSelect.com Weekender podcast. I could see like Matt and Nick Jackson individually challenging Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor world title, or even getting runs with it, and then maybe facing each other. But I don't think they'll have like a brutal, nasty breakup where one of them just hates the other one. I don't see that. It would be really, really hard to buy that as well. But I could definitely see them doing singles runs. Why wouldn't they? They should. They're very over. So if I were them, I would be all in on that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would be a good idea. And it's just easy. Will Roman lose the belt before WrestleMania? I don't think so. I don't think so. But if he does, I get the feeling it'll be to Brock. I don't want that, but after Braun is done with his feud with Shield and Roman, belt or no belt, will he be a heel or more of a tweener? More of a tweener. They did this as another effort to get Roman Reigns cheered. It's sad. It's weird. I don't know why they do it, but is it a matter of time before WWE or NXT comes knocking for Jeff Cobb? Well, they got a while to wait. They got to wait until the end of season 4 of Lucha Underground, and then you're going to have New Japan and Ring of Honor knocking, and Jeff Cobb isn't that eager to go to WWE right now, or at least he's saying that. But then again, he might just be saying that because it's not an option right now. He can't. Maybe once he contractually frees up, that will change a little bit. You see the XFL actually happening in 2020, and if so, does it last longer than one season this time around? Don't think it lasts longer than one season, but I do think it will happen. It shouldn't happen, though. If Vince McMahon is smart, he gets out. Let's just say WWE does sign all the elite. Does NXT then become that third legit show main roster-wise for TV programming in 2019 for Fox or USA? I know there were discussions about some NXT programming on FS1, but as of right now, there are no plans for that. But if they sign those guys, if they get like all four or five of those guys, I don't know how you don't have an extra. I don't want to say a full brand, but I mean, they got people they can't do stuff with right now. They are overloaded right now. I'm surprised that releases haven't happened. But yeah, you got. I think there's a good shot of that. But then what becomes your developmental territory? What do you call it? Full Sail Live or something like that? FSL? FedXT does become a TV program in 2019. Where does that leave 205 Live? Does it have a chance or will it even be in existence? I think it'll still exist. They got all this talent, man. They tried with the cruiserweights. It just didn't work. What can you do with them when people just leave all the time? What do you do when people screw up all the time? How do you handle it? How do you protect that brand? People just aren't interested. So we're going to see how interested they are now that they're filming it before WWE SmackDown. That's the right move. It's the smart move. Keep doing that. Give people their 3 hours of wrestling, but give the hungry people, if they want to be there, they can show up early. There you go. They don't have to stay late. Guys, I put it up a little early this week. Get your questions in. Not as many as I would have liked today, but most importantly, tell people you like Fightful Select's features. Hey, if you want to, just screenshot what we got on our future star, our contender level, and put those out there. Your word of mouth is very important. It is a very dead period in pro wrestling. I'm trying to keep the interest up. And thank you all very much for keeping your interest up. I truly appreciate you. Till next time, we are out.